Upadaya Matim Krishne Autoreya Sutim Vyadat Suta Uvacha Vayashakir Iti Vachas Tatva Nishchayam Atmanaha Upadarya Matim Krishne Autareya Satyam Vyadat Adarya Matim Krishne Autareya Satim Vyadat Sut Vacha Vayasakir Iti Vachas Upadarya Matim Krishne Autareya Satim Vyadat Sutu Vacha Vayasakir Iti Vachas Tatva Nishchayam Atmanaha Upadarya Matim Krishne Autareya Satim Vyadat Matajis Sutu Uvacha Sakya Iti Vachas Tatva Nishtayam Atmanaha Upadarya Matim Krishne Autareya Satim Vyadat Sutu Uvacha Vayashakya Iti Vachas Tatva Nishchayam Atmanaha Upadarya Vantim Krishne Autareya Satim Vyadat. Word for word meaning. Sutta Uvacha. Sutta Goswami said. Vayashakehe of Sukadeva Goswami. Iti. Thus, vachaha, speeches, tatva nishchayam, that which verifies the truth, atmanaha, in the self, upadarya, just having realized, matim, concentration of the mind, krishne, unto Lord Krishna, Uttarayaha, the son of Uttara, Satim, chaste, Vyadat, applied. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, Maharaj Parikit, the son Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, which were all about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. Please repeat. Sutta Goswami said, Maharaj Parikit, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, which were all about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. Purport. The word satim is very significant. This means existing and chaste. And both imports are perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikit. The whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna without any diversion. As instructed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Fortunately, Maharaj Parikit had already been attracted to the Lord from the very beginning of his body in the womb of his mother. In the womb of his mother, he was struck by the Brahmastra atomic bomb released by Ashvatthama. But by the grace of the Lord, he was saved from being burnt by the fiery weapon. And since then, the king continuously concentrated his mind upon Lord Krishna, which made him perfectly chaste in devotional service. So by natural sequence, he was a chaste devotee of the Lord. And when he further heard from Srila Sukadeva Goswami that one should worship the Lord only and no one else, even though full of all desires or desireless, his natural affection for Krishna was strengthened. We have already discussed these topics. To become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, two things are very much essential, namely having a chance to be born in the family of a devotee and having the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. By the grace of the Lord Krishna, by the grace of Lord Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj had both opportunities. He was born in a family of such devotees as the Pandavas, and just to continue the dynasty of the Pandavas and show them special favor, the Lord specifically saved Maharaj Parikshit, who later on, by the arrangement of the Lord, was cursed by the boy of a Brahmana and was able to get the association of such a spiritual master as Sukadeva Goswami. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that a fortunate person, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Lord Krishna, achieves the path of devotional service. This was perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. By way of being born in a family of devotees, he automatically came in touch with Krishna, and after being so contacted, he constantly remembered him. Consequently, Lord Krishna gave the king a further chance for development in devotional service by introducing him to Sukadeva Goswami, a stalwart devotee of the Lord with perfect knowledge in self-realization. And by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master, he was perfectly able to concentrate his chaste mind further upon Lord Krishna as a matter of course. Om Agyana Timirandesha Gananjana Shalapa Chakshu Umritam Jena Chasmai Sri Guru Venama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Panchakalpa Thruvya Shakri Pasin Vivata Paritana Pabhanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very new chapter, the process of creation. A couple of things when I was reading this, and I did some research yesterday, but in the purport, Prabhupada says the word satim is very significant, and he says this means existing and chaste, and they're perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. He was very chaste in all aspects of his Krishna consciousness. And interesting point also is this tattva nischayam atmanaha. So, vachas tattva nischayam atmanaha. It's described that if we want to know the truth, then we must approach a sincere soul, pure devotee like Sukadeva Goswami, nischayam atmanaha. So I thought that was very important to speak about this, because in later on in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also describes about the pure devotee, meeting a pure devotee of the Lord, a spiritual master. So this tattva nischayam atmanaha, it's very elaborate in sense that one can know the truth only by the association of such a pure devotee. And, of course, it's abhigachet. It's a must. It's something that we have to do if we want to know the science of Krishna consciousness. So here in Krishna consciousness, we claim this parampara system, and it comes from the Supreme Lord Krishna. It comes down through so many great souls and saints. And this knowledge, we say, is 5,000 years old. 5,000 years ago, at least, Krishna speaking on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And there he gave this transcendental knowledge. And we're repeating the same thing today. You can see here, we are 5,000 years later, and we're also saying the same things that Krishna said 5,000 years ago. And nothing's changed. It's all the same. There's no changes. The sun rises, the sun sets. There's no changes. The only difference is how we see and who sees. This is the only difference. Not that the world's changed. It's always been going on. This has been going on all the time. But we see Kali Yuga as it progresses, this scientific advancement, everyone thinks is so great. And when this happens, then they think they can interpret. So we see that in Kali Yuga, this is going on. Everyone is just interpreting because they think it's the modern age. And you tell them something about that was happened 5,000 years ago, immediately they disqualify it. They think this is nonsense. It doesn't have anything to do with me here today. But this is obviously a lack of knowledge. And so this is why one has to approach someone who is like tattva nischayam atmanaha, one who is a self-realized soul, one who's actually seen the truth. What's that? Janani vas tattva, Janani vas tattva. Yes, janani nam tattva darshana. One who has actually seen the truth. And what is this truth? This is what's so important here. What is the truth that he has seen? And that truth is that this world, this creation, nothing has changed. It's always been there. It's just a lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. And Prabhupada gives an example of like a bug. It was a pretty cool example. He gave an example of a bug. There are some bugs that don't live but through the night. They don't ever see the light of day. Everything, their birth, their marriage, their children, everything. It's all in night. So if that bug was to happen to somehow live through the night, it would see the day. And then the bug would think, what has changed? Something has changed here. But the thing is that nothing's changed. They just happen to see something that they never saw before, that was always existing. So this is a very important thing as devotees that we have to really realize that if we approach a self-realized soul, a pure devotee of the Lord, because he's seen the truth, or she's seen the truth, if we surrender to those particular individuals, then we'll also see the truth. And this comes from Krishna directly. This is the Krishna, he comes from him. This parampara comes from Krishna. This knowledge, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it comes from Krishna. And I thought this was a very important point, because in this day and age, we're always wanting to change things. Always. And we think that we're so smart, and we think that we know what we're doing, and we feel, oh, this is the modern age. We're much better than anybody was thousands of years ago. But that's not really true. Because even thousands of years ago, these things, same things were going on. But due to the age of Kali, this is the difference. This age of Kali, everyone is very arrogant, puffed up. Although they have there's so many disqualifications, still they're thinking that they're so advanced in scientific knowledge. And we see here, just in the course of what we're going through right now, I'm looking out in the audience, and all of us are wearing these masks. And even though they think that they're so powerful and so intelligent, one little bug, microscopic, and everything stops. And now, it's happened before. It's not like this is the first time. Even in this country, it's happened before. So, it's not a question of things new. It's not a question of, oh, we've understood more. Oh, there's changes. No. It's like the sun comes up, the sun goes down. It's day, it's night. That is going on. And a bug doesn't realize it, but one who's seen the truth, they can realize it. They understand. So this is the importance of having the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, one who's actually self-realized, a person who has seen the truth. And that truth, of course, is Krishna. Now, in this particular verse, Prabhupada also talks about the position of Maharaj Parikit and his particular qualifications. And those qualifications, they're given by Krishna. And here it says that if a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very fortunate, because two things happen. The one is that they get a chance to be born in a family of devotees. And the other thing that happens is that they meet a pure devotee of the Lord. By the grace of Lord, they meet a pure devotee. So these are very important things, because for us, obviously, we did not take birth in a family of Vaishnavas. Most of us haven't. Abhay has. He's pretty lucky. So, yeah, he's very fortunate. You can see his fortune. So, for us, what is our means? How do we make any progress in spiritual life? And that, of course, is by the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master. And when we associate with such an individual, immediately we develop understanding and knowledge. Prabhupada gives a very nice comment. I was just reading this in one of his lectures, where Prabhupada was talking about the importance of the tongue in our life. That tongue is of course most voracious, but at the same time, that tongue is actually the key element for us to make spiritual progress. That tongue is so important. And Prabhupada described, he gave an example of, he used the word asati, A-S-A-T-I. Asati means that when a woman takes on the occupation of a prostitute, and when she does that, her reputation is not very womanly. She doesn't have womanly qualities. So Prabhupada says that similarly, the tongue, which is given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if it's not used in chanting the holy name or chanting the Vedic mantras, it will be considered to be like a prostitute. It has bad qualities. And it will be engaged in nonsense, mundane activity. So this is the strength of the tongue. And each and every one of us have this tongue. And we should realize that our spiritual life begins with the tongue. If you have that tongue and you use it properly, so you have an opportunity to have a chaste tongue or an unchaste tongue. A chaste tongue is used to speak about Krishna, to chant the holy name, to actually spot out the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. But if we use that tongue for talking nonsense, Prabhupada used the example of a croaking frog. The frog in the spring goes by the pond and it's croaking. And the croaking is simply inviting death, the snake. The snake is coming towards that vibration. And that snake in the dark of night comes and swallows the frog and eats it. So that tongue is that important in spiritual life. It's called Seva Mukhe Hijavado Svayam Eva Svarayata. So this is the tongue. And if we utilize that tongue properly, that is the beginning of our self-realization. you hear and you speak, you vibrate. And that is so important. Prabhupada even said that if we utilize this tongue for just drama, you know, he just utilized the word drama. And Prabhupada said, then if you have that tongue and use it for drama, then you should try to just use the tongue for speaking about the drama of Lord Krishna, not about life, not all this drama. So we see that how the world is always in some kind of drama. If you are acquainted with the news, you'll see that all day long, drama about so many things, and half the things they can't do anything about. But simply speaking, croaking like a frog, talking all day long. And this is just inviting the snake of death before they even know it. So we see that like a chaste woman is meant for her husband, this tongue, this chaste tongue, is actually meant for the pleasure of Krishna. To take Krishna prasadam, to chant the holy name, to chant Vedic mantras. So this is very, very important. And here we see that these were the qualifications of King Parikshit. He was born in a family of devotees, so it means that he was constantly glorifying Krishna. And that glorification of Krishna helped him become a pure devotee of the Lord. And of course, association of the pure devotee, such as Sukadeva Goswami, who also was a pure devotee. And by his association, he was able to develop more and more Krishna consciousness to the point where, at the end of his life, he went back home, back to Godhead. So we have to see that it's important to chant constantly Krishna's name. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's described, Maschita matkata prana bodhayantam parasparam katayantasvam nicham tushanti charamanticha. That the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. The pure devotees are surrendered to Krishna. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss about enlightening each other and conversing about Krishna. That's what pure devotees are interested in. That's their ticket back home, back to Godhead. They realize. And this is a type of austerity. It really is. It's kind of like a, almost for us, because we're so conditioned, it's almost an imposition for us to be involved in that activity. And that goes to show our level of understanding or advancement in Krishna consciousness. Are we really getting that ruchi, that taste? And that taste, it comes from good association. So that's why the devotee is very interested in association. Tadvidhi. First, we have to search out a person who we can have respect for, that we can actually serve. And this is the spiritual master. It begins there. I recall that when I was a new devotee, it was kind of funny. Because really when I joined, I heard about Prabhupada. I didn't know Prabhupada. I didn't see him. I don't remember even seeing a photo of him. But, you know, I was in a temple and I was associating with devotees. So every day I would hear about Prabhupada, but I was so motored out in ignorance that I just didn't know who Prabhupada was. And I didn't even know how to picture Prabhupada, because I never saw an Indian in my life, a person in an Indian body. Never saw one. So I didn't even know how to think about Srila Prabhupada. I didn't know what he looked like. But I just began to be attracted to him because I heard about him from the devotees. They would glorify him. He was the one that wrote these books. At that time, I think we had first, second canto, maybe Bhagavatam. And reading every morning and thinking, wow, who is this person? But not knowing him, not seeing him or anything. And even if somebody showed me a picture, I don't know if I even remember. I remember being a new devotee at a point, someone would tell me about the parampara, and I wouldn't even know what that was. They said, this is the parampara. I said, oh, really? And who's this, and who's this, and who's this? had no understanding. But still, somehow or other, just by hearing about a pure devotee, by associating with devotees and that glorification, I became a devotee without any real knowledge, without really any real understanding. In fact, I recall being a new devotee that when I first came, there was no such thing as a bhakta program. You know, your bhakti program. There was no such thing as that. You just kind of came. You just kind of learned that you had to get up in the morning and you had to chant your japa. And then you had to go into the kitchen. That was my education. It was good. There was no difficulty. But point I'm making is that didn't know anything. And just by hearing about Prabhupada and associating with the devotees and hearing about Krishna, I became purified without any even desire. I just kind of was checking it out to see if I wanted to be a devotee. And then eventually, the devotees were talking about, let's go see Srila Prabhupada at Ratiyatra in 1974 to go see Prabhupada at the San Francisco Ratiyatra. And I was really excited because I was going to see Srila Prabhupada for the first time. Although I had no idea what he looked like. I had no conception even. Seriously, I mean, that's how molded out I was. I had no idea. And so it was very exciting to get in the vehicle and drive all the way from Denver to San Francisco and go to the Ratiyatra. And then I was really very nervous because we heard that Prabhupada was going to give a Bhagavatam class. Now, in those days, being that I was only maybe 21 years old, and in those days, we were very rebellious, of course. Everyone knows that era. We were like a little crazy, if not a lot crazy in those days. And we didn't trust anybody. Literally, what to speak, we thought that anybody over a certain age was just unbelievable, untrustworthy, everything. So I didn't know what to expect in seeing Srila Prabhupada, who probably at that time was practically 70 years old. So we didn't know what to expect. And I'd have to say that when I did see him finally, when he came in for the Srimad Bhagavatam class, it was hard to even describe how surprised I was. I don't think I even realized what the age was of Srila Prabhupada. He looked so youthful and so blissful and so happy that I couldn't, it was mind-boggling. It was so bewildering. And immediately you could see that all the devotees became ecstatic. And when I say ecstatic, I mean devotees really loved Srila Prabhupada. They loved him. And it was just so amazing. The mood and the effect was so powerful that you just got swept up in that whole mood. It wasn't erratic or just crazy, but it was just from the heart. You felt it. Everybody was there. And then Prabhupada sat down to give class, and he was chanting Jai Radha Madhava. And I was just overcome with joy, just overcome with happiness. I think because I didn't know what to expect, and what happened was that it was beyond my expectation. It was beyond anything I could have ever expected or contemplated. I couldn't even believe it. And so we heard the Bhagavatam class, and after the Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada was getting up, and as Papa was leaving, all he was doing was going to his room. He had an apartment. He was going to go to an apartment. And just by him getting up and leaving, someone started chanting his pranam prayers. And all immediately, devotees started crying, weeping tears. And I know that I got caught up in it, and I started crying too. Now, this is the first time ever meeting Srila Prabhupada, not knowing anything about him practically, what he looked like or what he was doing. But that's the essence of meeting a pure devotee of the Lord. And just to give you my humble opinion, what it can do to you. And from that day, I don't think that I ever thought about leaving this Krishna conscious movement. Never. And that, I think, is the potency of the pure devotee of the Lord. So we can just imagine, here's King Parikshit meeting Sukadeva Goswami. And in that particular meeting, that place of meeting, so many great sages, and everyone there is listening to this great soul, this great, great, great soul, pure devotee of the Lord. And we can just imagine what it means to be in that particular association. It's something that we can speculate about, but unless you've experienced it, unless you've felt it in your heart, that is the essence of that association. And so when I was reading this, I was thinking, wow, this is the essence of it. This is what it means to be involved in association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jignasu sraya uttamam. That's the qualification. That qualification is that we have to be eager to hear about Krishna consciousness. Then that makes us open. And pranipata, what is that? Parishana. Yeah, that's it. It means that we surrender. We surrender. You have to be ready to surrender. And when you're ready to surrender, then you get overcome by this joy of association of a pure devotee. And that makes you want to become a surrendered soul. And you really feel the essence of Krishna consciousness. So we have to be very, very conscientious of this. We should actually search for that spiritual master. But at the same time, we have to get a spiritual master by the ear. Srila Bhatta Saranta Maharaj said that that's the process of a spiritual master. One should not see the spiritual master as by the eye. In other words, you look at this person and they say, wow, he really looks good. I'd like to have him as my spiritual master. Or, he's got a long beard and hair. Wow, he's cool. That's my spiritual master. No. Srila Bhatta Saranta Maharaj says you should go for your spiritual master by the ear, by oral receptum, shruti. Because the whole Vedic process is by hearing. That's the whole Vedic process. We're sitting hearing Bhagavatam. So one should have a spiritual master through hearing the message. And that message helps one cross over this ocean of material existence. So hearing is so important. Shravanam, Kirtanam, we speak about that a lot. And especially in serving the spiritual master. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam, yasya prasadam nagatika topi. That if you please the spiritual master, that means that you're hearing. You hear the instruction from the guru. That's how you please the spiritual master. So this shruti, this oral reception, is essential in terms of our spiritual life, making advancement. So anyway, when I was reading this, this is what I was thinking about today. This quality of association and the importance of the tongue. And I can say another kind of a crazy thing in my life in Krishna consciousness was that when I first joined, they told us, they gave me a bead bag and they said, chant Hare Krishna on these beads. And I said, okay. And they said, a very nice, enthusiastic devotee. Just, you know, when you are new devotees and everybody's new, everybody knows they know, they think they know everything. So I remember I was kind of with one Prabhu, and he was kind of like knew everything. So he told me, okay, there's two ways of this chanting Hare Krishna. There's kirtan, it should be like, public kirtan. And then he said you should, and then japa. Japa is to yourself. So here, fine. So he gave me a japa bag. And I remember chanting, but I wasn't saying it out loud. I was thinking it. I would look at somebody and My lips wouldn't even move. I'd be thinking. So the devotees let me just do that for a month, maybe longer. So I'd be running around, looking around, everybody smiling, you know, with beanbag, and my lips weren't moving. Can you imagine watching somebody here in a temple room, and they're walking around, their lips aren't moving, and they're like smiling and very happy? You know, it's just like this. You know, just all kinds of, making all kinds of faces, and just like you're in ecstasy, and you're thinking about the Hare Krishna mantra in your mind. And then finally I was on a little walk with my friend, and he tells me, he says, hey man, why don't you chant? I said, well, I am chanting. He said, well, I don't hear you chanting. What are you chanting? I said, well, I'm thinking of chanting in my mind. That's what they told me. I should chant to myself. He said, no. You got to chant. You got to move your lips. Use your tongue. And then I finally realized. But the point I'm trying to make is that even though out of ignorance and just not knowing anything, still Krishna allowed me to stay in Krishna consciousness. That's the power and the potency of actually surrendering to the instruction of the spiritual master, the Krishna conscious movement, the pure devotee. That even if out of ignorance you're doing activity, still you have an opportunity to become a devotee of the Lord. And that's the glory of it. And so we're in that predicament. You know, our position is that we are trying to surrender to the instruction of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada as the Acharya of ISKCON. And He is the Siksha Guru of all of us. He's giving us this information. If we simply hear it and we follow it with sincerity, then we have an opportunity to become a pure devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. Okay? All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.